Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just stand in awe of you. Here on Father's Day, Lord God, in Broome, Western Australia, Father, we stand in awe. We appreciate you, Heavenly Father. What a good God we serve. What a good Father we have in you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we equally celebrate your love for us today and your Father heart today, Lord God. Give you praise and worship. Give you praise and heartfelt worship today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just continue to draw near to him today, and not just in, as we're gathered here today, but just in our hearts, just continue to connect with him. And he's got good things for us all. Amen. He's a good God. Wow, what a great worship team we have too. Amen. They're just really getting their places, and yeah. You know, I felt to say, I don't know who it was, and I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it's one of the ladies. I'm just telling you now that you're getting the sound of heaven, okay? And it's like you, and I just say this to you, it's like you're finding it, and you're not bold enough with it. I don't know who it is, but someone's finding that sound of heaven, and it's there, and you don't know what to do with it. And get excited, because once you start getting the sound of heaven, it'll just start coming through, and you'll support the leader, you'll support the rest of the team, but just you start to really bring that sound in. And not only that, but it captures hearts as well. And so just know, it's, be bold with it, all right? Be bold, and you step out with it more and more. Amen. It's exciting. Give them another hand clap, I tell you that. You know, I've seen some fairly dedicated worship teams, but these guys are so dedicated, and just really appreciate their heart, their sacrifice, the time that they give to it, and their prayer, because they're prayer warriors as well. And they're all wearing Christian t-shirts today, you know. Talk about unity, you know. So there's a message. We tried to stand them all in sequence to try and see what the message was from their t-shirts. So, but just beautiful. They're doing a great job. Well, hallelujah. Father's Day, I still haven't got my present yet. And I always go on about, where's my present? How about you guys? Everyone else get a nice present today from the kids? No, there you go. I think we need to do something about this. We need to start putting in our requests earlier. You try not to be a hinter, you know, that hints what you'd like. But how many are just tired of Bunnings cards? You know, let's just face it, you know, it's that Bunnings card. Gosh, you know. But anyway, Bunnings aside, you know, I was thinking about my dad today, and every now and then I have an occasion where I actually I need a pencil. You know, in days of computers, that's becoming far and few between. But I've got like this little wooden pencil box. And when I open it, the smell of those pencils just sort of wafts up, you know, from this box. And it's, you know, again, you just remember some things with odours and smells, don't you? Associations. And, you know, I recall the smell of my dad. And my dad coming home from work every day. And like most kids, I would run up to him to give him the, you know, just when you're a toddler, you go running up to give your dad a big hug as he walks in. And I remember doing that with my dad and getting that welcome hug from him. But he smelt like pencils, okay? And there was a reason that he smelt like pencils, is because he was a civil engineering draftsman. And back in the days before computers, and he would draw up the plans for bridges, right down to the bolt, the thread on the bolt, and all of those things, the screws, the pieces of timber, and he would have to draw that in the plans so that the people that were building it could read off the plan and actually see the size of the bolts and everything. And he would be there all day long drawing, and of course he loved it. He was a drawer, and but, you know, when I think back on that smell, and I think you'll probably agree with me here too, is that, you know, it wasn't so much the smell of pencils that I liked. It was the smell of my dad, you know. You know, that sense of dad being home again, you know, and what it brought. You know, it was, again, just that sense of security, that sense of safety, if you like, you know, that you got when you're a little kid from your, you know, from your parents, and in particular your dad. And, you know, mothers can provide that as well. And I sort of say that as well, because it's so important. Our society, again, has, families that have been broken and are not whole, as you as we would put it, but our society and communities are much more enhanced, of course, when it's made up of children who've been brought up in a home where there's a mother and a father, and you know, in the family setting, you know, and I tell you, that family setting, mother father, is a concept that's very much under attack. And even today, if you'll look for the headlines, you'll find the headlines out there saying, you know, Father's Day should be banned, and you know, they should stop Father's Day. And of course, it's progressives that are out there in society who are trying to ring that bell and say it's time to change. Families are different now. No, no. God's design for marriage was mothers and fathers, you know, husbands and wives. That was God's design for marriage for us all. And of course, for in that environment, for children to grow up in that atmosphere of love and encouragement and safety and security. And of course, we see that the society is sort of saying, "Well, some of that's a bit hard," and well, you know, there's circumstances. No, let's all be a people that stand for family. Let's all be a people that stand for mothers and fathers. You know, and for children that grow up in that environment. Amen. You know, the kingdom of God has restoration in store for those that have had disappointing relationship within their family lives. And we were praying that this morning in the prayer room that, you know, some of this talk today about fathers would maybe touch hearts that maybe had a disappointing relationship with their fathers. And, you know, the restoration point, the place where God restores us to normalcy. I call it normalcy. I don't know. I'd have to look that up in the dictionary. Actually, normalcy was the word that came to me. Is through his work of setting us free from the lies of the devil and, of course, from our previous fallen condition and bringing us into a loving relationship with him. I think about my dad, and I know Rose will remember this. Dad used to, when we first went out into ministry, we went out into a set of circumstances where, you know, we were pioneering and, you know, I think the favourite saying was living off the smell of an oily rag, you know, in some cases. And quiche days, I've talked about those quiche days. But, you know, our dad would come and visit us. And one of his favourite sayings was, "Is there anything you need?" And it was like code for, you know, how can I help you in some way, you know. And he bought us a washing machine one time. He came over to Queensland, bought us a new washing machine. I tell you what, we thought we were the kings, you know, the king's kids, you know. But a really amazing thing happened. Always touches my heart too. That after my father died, I remember hearing the voice of the Lord saying to me, "Is there anything you need?" Really touched my heart, you know, because I knew the Lord was saying, "I'll always look after you no matter what. Always, you know, see to your needs." And you need to tuck that into your hearts as well. Your heavenly Father loves you so much. And, you know, his call to you as well. Is there anything you need? You know, we need you just to ask him, you know. Ask and you will receive, the Bible says. Amen? Sorry to get a little emotional there, but it's Father's Day, and I think of pencils. And I remember the smell of my dad. You know, our Heavenly Father adopts us into his family for the purposes of relationship and close fellowship. There's a design in his adoption. You know, Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 and 16, it says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption." You know, he adopts us as his sons. And by which we cry out, "Abba, Father." It's that soft place of relationship. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Those truths that come through to us, reminding us that, you know, we are those special ones in his sight, truly loved of him. It's the start of a new life for us all when we come into that revelation and that place of connection with our Heavenly Father. You know, whether we've come from a broken family or not, or one that was whole, or one that was, you know, just doing the best it could, you know, whether you came from that background or not. The spirit of adoption is that divine influence, that the tug at our hearts that we all experience when we come into the fullness of God's plan of redemption for us individually, personally, and leads us to new life in Christ. That's an exciting thing, the spirit of adoption. You know, we need to pray more around the spirit of adoption, because that's the thing that draws people in, is he starts to work on our hearts and we come to Christ through that spirit of adoption, where we come into his divine family, his heavenly family. And it's been said that religion is man reaching up to God, whereas true Christianity is God reaching down to mankind, that spirit of adoption bringing us into that place of family with him. You know, whereby, as that word says in Romans 8, whereby which we cry out, Abba, Father. The word Abba means, it's like that term of endearment. It means daddy. You know, when our Heavenly Father becomes like daddy to us. You know, the smell of pencils, and that sense of security and safety, and that everything's going to be all right, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels. Amen. I'm sure we've sung about that this morning, everything's going to be all right, So, the point at which the kingdom of darkness gets eliminated in our lives is when we hear the gospel for the first time, and the Father's character of love is comprehended by us. So important. When we realize for the first time that the ultimate expression of God's love was Jesus Christ upon the cross, taking our sin, taking our place, so important to get that sense of his love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We know that from John 3. But our relationship with God begins through recognition and acceptance of his great love for us that he showed us when he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. The great love the Father has for us is expressed in so many ways in the Bible. And we know about those. I've just recently been speaking on the subject of love. And of course, 1 John 3:1 says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Beautiful. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not, Doesn't understand where Christians are coming from, Doesn't understand what it is that we're going on about when we say that we're Christians. We're going on about the love of God that was expressed to us in Jesus upon that cross. I think I shared it just back in August, a fresh revelation, and that the Lord drew my attention to, that was the same level love. And some of you might remember from the prayer of Jesus in John 17. Just really came home to me, where it says, and I have made your name known to them. This is Jesus praying for us. And I have made your name known to them, and will continue to make it known, so that the love you have for me may be in them and I in them. What a great truth to behold and let sink in. The same love that our Heavenly Father, the God of all creation, that had for Jesus, he has for us. And that, when we start to allow that to become reality, we start to walk out the door of our day, into our day and what's ahead of us, thinking, God loves me just as much as he loved Jesus. Wow. What a revelation to walk in. And yet Jesus was saying that we would have that same reality, that same truth in our hearts. It's truth that we should meditate on. And it's truth that aligns us with our Heavenly Father's heart. Father's Day is a time where we've all experienced the struggle of the best expression of our love for our dads in a gift, and what to buy for dads, Father's Day, etc. When we run out of ideas, of course, the Bunnings gift voucher is always very handy. But the gift given should be an expression of our gratitude, an expression of our love for our dads. Sometimes a gift doesn't quite hit the spot. I'm sure I'm with a lot of the fathers here this morning in saying honestly that I would rather receive and cherish those moments when I receive a genuine expression of love from my kids. That's very much about just thanking, it's like gratitude, and there's just that thankfulness in there. And it's like saying, you know, thank you for being my dad. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for just, you know, for the care and the support and the nurture and all those things. I'd rather have that than a Bunnings voucher any day, you know, from my kids. And even just, you know, if it was once or twice a year, I'd still be happy because I know that I've done and fulfilled what I should have done as a father with my kids. And, you know, I recall a time I just really felt the need to express my love for God. And it was the focus of my contemplation. I was thinking, how do I express my love for God really earnestly and sincerely? How do I do that? And I remember the moment when I asked the Lord in prayer, and God, how do I express my love for you? You know, and I remembered the moment really clearly. And his response was scripture. And we're going to have a little look at it as we finish today. John chapter 21. And verse 1, and it says, and after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way showed he himself. There together, Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder, if you know them, and the two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, I'm going to go fishing. And they said unto him, we will also go with you. And we will also go with you. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew that it was not Jesus, knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 5. And then Jesus said to them, children, have you any fish? Notice, children, have you any fish? And they answered him, no. So they're a little way out in the water yet. He said, you got any fish? Catch anything? And they went, no. And, you know, Peter and the other disciples, when you think about it, were reverting back at this point to what they did for a living before they went into ministry. They're fishermen. You know, that's how they made their living. They, you know, go out and catch some fish and sell those fish at the market. And they were able to buy other things and they would trade with their fish. And always a good reminder, the fruit of going back to our old ways is that we potentially disconnect from our source. Write that down. When we make the mistake of going back to our old ways, we potentially disconnect from our source. And God knows how to bring the supply that we need in our lives. He knows how to overcome the weaknesses of our nets so that he can maximize our blessings. You know, the takeaway for the disciples was not just the 153 big fish that they brought in. And you will see it as we read on here. The takeaway is keep serving his purposes. Keep following after him. Keep being about the building of the kingdom. Don't go back to your old ways. Amen. And we'll just read in verse 6. It says, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fish. And therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat on. Obviously, he was down to his footy shorts, I guess. And he girded himself with his with fisher's coat on him, for he was naked. He did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but it was about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Wow. And of course, Jesus was laying it all on. And verse 10. Now, don't forget, they just brought the fish in. And so therefore, they hadn't cleaned the fish, they hadn't gutted the fish, anything. But the fire was lit and there was already fish ready for them to have breakfast, you see. In verse 10, Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fish, 153. And although there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Verse 12, and Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Knowing that it was all, yeah, that was, they needed to know that. And Jesus then came and took bread and gave to them, and fish likewise. And now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. third time. You know, the number three is the number for completeness, okay? Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, completeness. And of course, there's 27 books in the New Testament, three times three times three. Amen. And it's interesting when you start looking at some of the numbers behind some of these. This is the third time that Jesus had appeared to them and showed himself to his disciples after he's risen from the dead. And the disciples are now familiar with the resurrected Lord. That's not no longer it's no longer scaring them when Jesus is appearing and coming on the scene. And of course, post resurrection. And in verse 15, we see. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these?" Wow, this is. Do you love me more than these? And I thought to myself, who's the these? I was thinking maybe it's 153 fish. Because, you know, I haven't taken 153 big fish to market, but I'm sure back in that day, 153 big fish going to market, you know, you're going to buy a bigger boat, you know. You're going to be doing a little bit better than the next fisherman. And of course, they didn't even have broken nets, you see. Such was God's provision in their life and in this experience. And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again the second time, "Son of Jonas, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said unto him, "Feed my sheep." And he said unto him the third time, again, number three, the number of completeness, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" Don't forget, this is Peter that denied Jesus how many times? Three times, you know. So God's dealing with Peter in threes. You know, I think he's getting the pattern now, you know. But he still, it says that he was grieved here because he said unto him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." How do we express our love for the Father? Get this, write this down. It's about others. It's about other people. God's saying, if you're going to love me, you're going to have to love others. If you're going to express your love for me, express your love for others. Because that's what he was telling Peter. And he had to tell him three times so that he had the revelation completely. He had it complete. He understood it then. You know, our highest expression of love for the Father is seen in our love for what we show others. And that's, you know, that's not just being agreeable to everyone or, you know, not, you know, disagree. It's loving people through forgiveness. It's believing the best of every person. It's all of those things. Not holding a grudge against someone. It's all of those things. And in doing so, we express our love to God. It's our willingness to let that same love that the Father has loved us with to flow through us into others. That's how we love our Heavenly Father. I know it's a bit different, isn't it? It's a little bit sort of unusual. Because what we want to do is we want to sort of somehow express our love to our Heavenly Father in a prayer or something that we can do or maybe work for Him, you know. Or if I just serve Him enough, I'll express my love enough. No. He's saying, you love me by loving others. Very important. It's a beautiful example of the Lord trying to bring the Father heart out of Peter. He's trying to bring a nurturing heart out of Peter, you know, and so beautiful to see. Peter was already a leader. You know, the others wanted to go fishing when he said, "Let's go fishing." They all followed, you know. And you know when you're a leader, it was when you look around and people are following you. That's when you know. And of course, Peter was a leader. There's no question about it. But God wanted to give him more than that. You know, funny story, and I think we've got time to tell it. We were... somewhere within the last 10, 15 years, I went to Adventure World, you know, down in Perth. You know, you go down to Adventure World and they've got swings and rides and all kinds of things. There's this joke that says, you know, "I'll be the leader unless it's dark and then someone else can go." You heard that one? Anyway. So there we were, and it must have been late in the school holidays. There wasn't many people at Adventure World. You know, there wasn't many people there. And, of course, there was this... It wasn't a ride. It was an amusement of some kind. It was like the Lara Croft tomb, it was. And the whole idea was as you went into this tomb and there was no lights. And, of course, there were people in there who would come out from the side and scream and yell at you and give you a scare. And, of course, you know, I'm reasonably intelligent. I know what I'm getting into. But Rosemary is there. She goes, Pete, you should go in. The kids had been in. She goes, you should go in. And, of course, the person who's at the ticket thing says, well, there's not many people to go in. And there's this other guy that comes up. And I think he was Kenyan. I think he was from Kenya. And of course, he's going, I'll go. You know, and I'm going, well, I'll go too. But he says, you go first. So we enter into this little, you know, into the dark. And I tell you, it wasn't long, I was carrying this guy. Because every time someone poked out from a corner and sort of jumped and went, yeah, you know, he'd grab me and grab my shoulders. I came out of there with a sore neck. Because he kept on grabbing me, you know. It was a fright. And it was just one of those funny moments. But I felt for him. And I felt for the fact that he was a little bit more fearful than what I was. I had the advantage of being through Bible college where I was taught to not fear. And I don't think he had, you know. And I was pretty sure my neck understood that too by the time we got... when we came out into the light at the other end of it, he was still hanging onto my shoulders about that far behind me, you know. It was hilarious. But and Rosemary's never let me forget about that time that we were at Adventure World, at Lara's tomb, yeah. But, you know, Peter was a leader, but, you know, God wanted him to go to another level of nurturing. You know, having a father's heart toward others. And you might be a mother, but I tell you what, you can have a father's heart. You can have that nurturing heart, you know. We talk about that a lot around here in this church. We talk about, you know, our vision about raising up sons and daughters that have the what? Father's heart, you know. So that's that next level, that nurturing level where our heart and desire is for others to come to another place in God. And, you know, the other place in God for them to come to is the father's heart. Connecting, you know, having that appreciation for what the Father is doing in and around us and, of course, in the lives of other people. Our greatest expression of love for the Father is manifest, in our attitude of support and love for others. Loving God through our love for others is different to just being nice and lovely. Okay, it's different to that. It's another level. It's done with the ideal that those we reach would be reached with the love of God. That's what it's done with. That, you know, they wouldn't just like us more because we reached them and think we're fantastic, but they would actually have a connection with the Father's heart. And that would be Moorish is the best way to describe it, that they would then start to connect with the Father for themselves and start to realise that that's the ideal of the Christian life, is having a connection with a loving God, a God that loves us dearly. You know, Paul spoke of that right heart attitude and the contrast of it so perfectly when he said over there in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, "For though you have 10,000 instructors, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel." He's talking about that father heart. He's talking about you can have many people that will give you instruction and love to teach and love to, you know, give you information. God wants us to have that father heart. God wants us to have his heart, you know, and to be reaching out to others with it. And there's a few differences between instructors and, you know, fathers that really need to be pinpointed. And I'll just bring this out to you in closing. You know, instructors disseminate information. Fathers pour out their lives. There's a difference right there. Instructors search for students. Fathers search for sons and daughters, you see. there's a real difference right there. Instructors bask in the joy of academic success, whereas fathers enjoy life's success, seeing people going on to their best, you know, their ultimate place in God. Instructors have a intellectual connection with their students, whereas fathers have a heart connection with their children. And of course, instructors always want to instruct. They're always giving out of that place, always coming out of that place, whereas fathers seek opportunity for their sons and daughters to have opportunity. Amen? And you know, it's something that grows and develops. It's something that we're, you know, we very much have embraced is that, you know, God wants fathers being raised up. You know, we're praying this morning. Paul, what did you pray for? You prayed for, I think, that last scripture about the end times, the father's heart's being turned to the sons and the sons to the father. And, you know, that's a pinpoint, beautiful pinpoint of end times. God wants us all to have that nurturing heart for others. And if we're going to, the revelation to take away, if we're going to have a love for God and express our love for our Heavenly Father, it's going to have to be through the way that we love us, just as the Lord told Peter. So, you know, on that point, I want us to just consider, you know, in your own life, how are you toward others? You know, this Father's Day, let it be an opportunity for you to maybe make a few adjustments, to look in the mirror of the Word and see where those adjustments need to be made, and take a decision to do it. Amen. To be a little bit more considerate of others, and rather than seeking our own or what we need, but rather, you know, developing that nurturing heart that fathers have, and where they really seek to create an environment where others are safe and secure and blessed. Amen? Amen. Why don't we all stand to our feet just as we close in prayer, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And just as we do close today, I want to make an invitation. And of course, you know, we have a few visitors with us today, and maybe there's someone among us who would say that they have never heard the gospel of their salvation, never heard what it is that they must do to be saved. And I want to encourage you this morning that there's a simple prayer that we can pray. We call it the prayer of acceptance, and you can read about it again. It's in a brochure that's in that intro pack. If you haven't got it, make sure you get a hold of it. But it's a simple prayer, and it's a prayer that leads us in the understanding, the biblical understanding, is that we can believe with the heart and we can confess with the mouth. And the Bible says that when we do believe in our heart the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that we are saved. And I'd love to be able to have the opportunity, if you're here for this for the service this morning, you've never prayed that prayer before, I'd love the opportunity to pray with you and actually lead you in that prayer. And it'll be the best day of your life and the day that begins the rest of your life, which will be eternal. Amen. And I just encourage you to come on down and make yourself known. We will be breaking, having morning tea afterwards as well, and encourage you to stay for that. If you have any other prayer needs and you'd like to come and join us down the front for some prayer, whether you have a healing need or some other prayer need, come on down the front. Don't hold back. I encourage you to come on down. But, you know, why don't we just close in prayer and, you know, just around this the Father's heart. Father, we again just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity today, Lord, to gather in your presence, Lord. We love our nation, Lord God. We love it's a free nation, Lord, that we can do as we please, Father. And Lord, yet we chose, Lord God, to be in a church today that glorifies Jesus, where our Heavenly Father is spoken about, and most importantly, his true character is spoken about, Father. We thank you that you're a loving God, that, Lord God, that you've loved us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that today. And Lord, we thank you that on this day, as we celebrate fathers, that in our hearts we celebrate you and an attempt to express our love for you, Father, in the way that we treat others, the way that we love others, Lord, the way that we purpose to be nurturing others, Lord God, bringing them to that new place in you and good places in you, Father. But Father, we ask today a revelation of your love for us would be felt and known, Lord, because we know that that is the start of reaching others with your love, Father. We give you thanks and praise today. We pray that revelation knowledge would flow freely, Father, even as we go from here today. Lord God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would bring home to us truths that we need, Lord, to be reminded of. Lord, you said in your word that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us into truth, all truth, and show us things to come. So, Father, we thank you for the leading and guiding of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And, Lord, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ today. We give you worship and praise. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go out with a song this morning.
Let the King of Mine be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, He's mine.